If you have your Bibles with me, open up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and we're going to read just one verse, verse number 11. Psalm 68 and verse number 11. I'll give you just a moment to find this verse, and as you do, I just want to take a moment and tell Dr. Weaver, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to preach in your pulpit this morning. I know that this was intended for my dad to be here, and I know my father would dearly love to be standing behind this pulpit tonight instead of seated out here in the auditorium. My dad has not been well, but by God's grace, he is doing better, and I would ask that you continue to pray for his recovery from his heart attack. Psalm 68 and verse number 11 says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of gathering together and remembering your blessings. Lord, not the least of which is this holy book that we hold in our hands. And Lord, we are so grateful for the privilege that we have of knowing you as our personal Savior. And Lord, for the hope of heaven that we have in our hearts because of what we read in this holy book. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our hearts today into doing your will. And Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to have free reign in our hearts. Lord, I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted above all else this day. And Lord, I pray that as your word is preached, that it would meet the needs in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would remove any obstacle from in our midst that would hinder your word being preached and your Holy Spirit doing that which you desire to do in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would help us confess sin. Lord, that you would save the lost, that you would draw us back closer to you. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. The United States is a great country because it is built upon great principles. And those principles are found in the Word of God. And the Word of God, this book that we have in our hands before us, is the very Word of God. And our text says that the Lord gave the Word. Now, it might seem a little strange to you to hear a message concerning the Word of God on the Sunday before the 4th of July. And yet, it is only because of the Bible that we can celebrate the 4th of July. I believe that God, in His sovereign wisdom, has given to us a book that it has no parallel. There is no other book written like the Bible. There is no other book that can claim to have God as its author. There is no other book that can claim to give to man 100% of what God wants us to know. It is a wonderful book from cover to cover in all 1,189 chapters and 66 books written across 2,500 years by 40 different men. A book that has been translated into over 400 languages, 2,000 languages now that have the New Testament. And yet there are still approximately 4,500 languages that are waiting to hear the Word of God. The Bible is the most widely read book in the history of mankind. It is also the greatest book that any man can read if he desires to know such topics as philosophy, theology. People have read the Bible sometimes just to see the poetry of Scripture. The Bible is the greatest book that has ever been written. And yet, 2 weeks ago, I was asked a question by two men who are considered leaders in their church. A very famous church here in the United States of America. If I were to quote the name of this church, many of you would have heard of this church. And they asked me this question. They said, "Brother Bill, how did we get the Bible?" Now, that may seem a strange question, but let's be honest with ourselves. Most of us take for granted the fact that we can go to the bookstore back behind us here and we can walk over and we can say, "I'd like to buy a Bible." And we purchase a Bible and we take it home. And frankly, there are many people who do not know how the Lord gave us His Word. And so this morning, I'd like for us to think just for a few moments about how the Lord gave us the Bible. First of all, we see God gave this book through what we call specific revelation. That is, that God determined in times past exactly what He wanted us to know. At the beginning, God spoke directly to man. We read in the book of Genesis concerning Adam and Eve that God came to them and spoke to them face to face, and they could hear His voice. We see that this continues to repeat itself through Noah and through others in the Old Testament there in the book of Genesis, as God comes down and physically speaks to them and they hear His voice. Then there is a transition. And God begins to speak to men through visions, or perhaps through dreams. We read in Genesis chapter number 15 how that the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And we read concerning other men who had visions and dreams. We find Abimelech also receiving the Lord in a vision, and God speaking to him through a vision. And we find throughout Scripture that God spoke to people through visions and through dreams. Now, these are somewhat overlapping, because we find that at the beginning, God spoke only face to face with man. They could hear His voice. They could speak directly to Him. Later on, God began to speak through visions and through dreams, while at the same time, from time to time, He would speak directly to man. And then God began to cause His words to be written. That was a very important progression in God's revelation of His Word. We find this in the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. If you would, follow along as I read this verse in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 14. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 14, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, and I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Now, why is this verse significant? This is the first time in Scripture that God ever said to any man, write these words. That's very important. When God spoke to Adam, He did not tell Adam, write these things down, quite probably because Adam did not know how to read and write. He didn't have a school to go to with a teacher to teach him the ABCs. Or in his case, if he spoke Hebrew, the Aleph Bet. He did not have the opportunity to go to the local library and check books out so that he could read them. That didn't happen until much later. But by the book of Exodus, chapter 17, we find that God is now telling Moses, write these things in a book. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I have a book that God had written so that I could read it. When I got up this morning and I began to read my Bible, as I do many times on an early morning, as many of you do as well, it is because God in eternity past decided to have His words written down. By the way, I commend unto you the reading of God's Word. If you've gotten away from reading God's Word, I beg of you to consider reading God's Word every day for the rest of your life. If you're not reading the Bible, you are missing out on God's blessings that are intended for you. And so as we see here God's revelation, we see that God commands His words to be written. And yet at times in the book of Exodus chapter 31, we find that God Himself writes some of these words. In Exodus 31 and verse number 18, it says, "And He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with Him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone." Now notice this last part of this verse, "written with the finger of God." The book that you hold in your hands is written by God Himself. This is no small feat that God from eternity could choose to reveal His words and have them written down. The Lord has allowed me to work in Bible translation for the last 10 years. I confess to you that any time that the Bible is translated, it is a miracle. It is an absolute miracle. Because all of the forces of hell gather together against the translation of God's Word. There are more people against the translation of God's Word than are against democracy. There are more people who are against the translation of God's Word than are against facing some of the problems and trials that you face in financial and economic problems here in America. The Word of God is like a lightning rod for problems. So we began to translate the Scriptures into Mongolian time and again and time and again and time and again. We were faced with obstacles that we had never anticipated. And it was because we were entering into an area that the devil was not willing to release. And yet we had to enter in by prayer. And I thank you for praying with us. We find in Deuteronomy 17 and verse number 18, I won't take the time to read this verse, but God commands kings, when they ascend to the throne, that they should write for themselves a copy of the book of the law, for themselves to be read in that book every day. By God's grace, today we have books that are printed up for us. I wonder how many people here would take the time to write out verse by verse the entire Bible if it were not possible for you to purchase a copy. That you would go out and get paper and a pen and borrow someone's Bible and begin to write out verse by verse the Word of God. And yet, for centuries, for over 2,000 years, that is the only way that people could have a copy of God's Word. Until the invention of the printing press, any time that a person had an entire copy of God's Word, it was because there was a scribe who had painstakingly sat down and written out by hand every word that God had written. Frankly, folks, we've got it very easy. And yet, having it so easy, sometimes we do not take advantage of God's Word. God's work in preservation allowed His Word to continue until today. God preserves His Word by Himself. Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." We find that God's Word will exist forever. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 8. We find that there are examples in the Old Testament of men who tried to destroy the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 36 with King Jeconiah, when he took the scroll that Jeremiah had written and he cut it up with a penknife and he threw it into the fire and it was consumed. And then in the next verse, the Lord commands Jeremiah to take again another roll. And he sits down with Baruch. And he begins to say again all of the same words. And all of the same words were written again in a book. Because God has chosen to preserve His Scripture. In the book of Proverbs chapter 25 verse number 1. We find that the men of Hezekiah are writing down the Proverbs that were spoken by Solomon that had never been written down. Several hundred years later. This is quite a time later. After Solomon has already died, these men are now writing out the Proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs 25 verse 1, you can read that. We find that God's Word was copied by scribes in Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 6. We find that God's Word was written down in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 22 and Ezra chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. Why are these things true? Because God wanted you to have the Bible for yourself today. The Lord gave the Word. Yet I find in Scripture that there are two groups among Christians today. The company of the publishers. Who's that talking about there in Psalm 68 verse number 11? Those are the people who receive God's Word and then who try to give God's Word to others. I want to be a part of that company. I want to be a part of the group that receives God's Word, and then tries to help other people to get God's Word. There's another group, however. They receive God's Word, and as Romans chapter number 1 says, they hold back the truth in unrighteousness. That means they receive the Word of God, and then they keep it for themselves, and they don't let it get out. They don't let other people hear about it. They hold it back. They withhold it for themselves in unrighteousness. There are several personal commands in Scripture that God has given to us. For example, God wants His Word to be obeyed. We find that throughout Scripture, but in Exodus 19 and verse number 5, that we should obey the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, where God speaks to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Behold, these things which I have commanded unto you shall be upon thine heart. And I'm translating from Hebrew, and I'm messing up here. And thou shalt teach them unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them as thou art in the way, and as thou liest down, and as thou risest up. And thou shalt write them as frontlets between thine eyes, and shalt write them upon thine hands. And you shall write them upon the doorpost of your homes and of the gates of your city." Now you see, as you read there, you find that God wanted His Word to be written down, to be remembered, and to be taught to others. These are personal commands in Scripture that God desires concerning His Word. God wants His Word to be memorized. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 6, the Bible says that we would keep God's word upon our heart. In Psalm 119 verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So why does God give his word to us? So that we can memorize it, so that we can study it. Now God put many things in Scripture so that we would be able to memorize His Word. For example, we find alliteration in all of the Psalms, in the Proverbs, words that go along one with another. Kol habisharecha uvarecha ve'aleicha. What is this ha ha ha? Well, it's a mnemonic device. It's this alliterative device so that we could remember Scripture. We find alphabetical poetry. For example, in Psalm 119, the first 8 verses begin with Aleph, the next 8 verses begin with Bet, the next 8 verses begin with Gimel, and all the way down to Tav, 22 different letters multiplied times 8, 176 verses in Psalm 119. But that is also true in Psalm 112 and Psalm 113. The entire book of Lamentations is alphabetical. If you will notice, chapter number 1 of Lamentations, chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5 have 22 verses each. Why? Because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter number 3 has 66 verses because verses 1, 2, and 3 start with Aleph. 4, 5, and 6 start with Bet. 7, 8, and 9 start with Gimel. Why did God do this? So that His people would have a better or an easier time of memorizing His Word. God gave these things so that they could be upon our heart. We must memorize God's Word. God wanted His Word to be copied down. We read this again in the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 9, that you would write these words upon the doorposts of your home and upon the gates of your city. If you go into our home in Mongolia, which we just gave up this last week, you would have found 3x5 cards that my wife has written down verses on those 3x5 cards plastered all over the house. Why do you do this? Why does your family do this? You not have any other way to decorate your home? No, it's so that we'll remember God's Word. I encourage you, my friend, memorize the Scriptures. And then we find corporate commands concerning the Scriptures as well. The preaching of God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, 18 through 21. Paul said that the foolishness of preaching is the method that God has chosen for His Word to be communicated. God's Word should be taught. In 1 Timothy, we find Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy, in the book of Titus, in these pastoral epistles concerning the importance of God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter number 2 and verse number 15, we find there that Paul commands Timothy. Let me read this verse to you. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. The Scriptures say here, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In chapter number 3, verses 15 through 17, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why does God give us His Word? Because it should be preached, it should be taught. I find that it is important biblically to be a part of a church, a corporate body that is preaching and teaching God's Word. You see, there are certain specific instructions given to me as an individual to read God's Word, to memorize God's Word, to teach God's Word to others. But I also need to be a part of a body, of a church that is involved in reaching the community, that is involved in reaching the world through missions, that is involved in spreading God's Word throughout the world. And so I find that God's Word should be made available to all people. We see in the Old Testament the example in the book of Esther, when the king spoke and his words were translated into 120 different languages, and they were sent throughout his kingdom, and that was for the purpose of God's people, the Jews, not being destroyed. Twice in the book of Esther, a proclamation is made by the king that is translated and sent out on horseback, on camelback, on the back of donkeys, to all of the corners of the kingdom, translated into the language of every people, and written according to the writing, and that is what is written in the book of Esther. In the book of Acts, chapter number 2, we find that on the day of Pentecost, people had gathered in Jerusalem from all the corners of the world. And most of those people spoke enough Hebrew to understand the message that Peter would have been preaching that day. And yet God in His sovereign wisdom chose by an action of the Holy Spirit that has not yet been repeated since, that God's word as it was preached by one man would be understood by everyone in their own language wherein they were born. I believe that it is God's will till today that people should read God's word in their own language. I believe that God would have His word to be translated into every language spoken on earth. Now perhaps for you and for me, it is only important that the Bible has been printed in English. May I suggest to you that we study His word, that we allow God's word to be the basis for everything we do. I'd like to finish with the book of Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, and he gives them a command. A command that is very important for us today. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I suggest to you that this is the key to having the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. If you're not spending your time reading God's word, fact is, you're probably in bondage to sin. Oh, you're a Christian. And you may celebrate a day of independence, but the greatest day of independence is when you get victory over sin and liberty from the bondage of sin. And I encourage you, my friend, to spend time in this book. Some of you this morning, I would encourage you to come to an old-fashioned altar in a few moments and say, "Dear God, I have failed miserably. I've been living in bondage to sin, in slavery to sin, instead of in the liberty that I can have through Your word, because I've gotten away from the old book." Perhaps you're here this morning and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And perhaps for you spiritually, there's never been a day of independence. May I encourage you to place your faith in Jesus Christ? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." There is freedom, there is liberty for you if you will come to Jesus.